Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Beat on this Tuesday, July 7th. We're so excited to be here. Michaela Gordon, how are you doing, honey? I miss you.
I miss you, first of all, and I'm worried about you like a worried Jewish mother. Because you were having like a tough day yesterday. We're doing something a little different today.
Yeah, we're doing the show via Zoom today and tomorrow. I reached out to my whole team at Channel Q.
You reached out to me. I'm the team.
late Sunday night, early Monday morning. I wasn't feeling that well. I've been in bed for a couple of days. Feel like I have a bit of a flu bug or something. Just to be safe, though, I've got a doctor's appointment today. I've been tested 3 times now for COVID-19. I'm going to get tested a fourth time just out of an abundance of precaution. So I am at home right now. I'm feeling much, much better today than I was yesterday for sure. But we are home right now, socially distanced once again. We did this for 10 weeks. We can do it for 2 days.
I'm telling you, though, I think it's really responsible of you and others that are taking these precautions, because as we're seeing, and we'll go more in depth with this, but 41 years old Nick Cordero just passed away from complications of COVID-19. Another friend of mine just lost one of their dear friends from COVID-19. Whether you believe it's real or not, I think it's starting to hit closer and closer to home. Yeah. And we're really seeing that it's not, the numbers are not going down. And we really have to be careful. I pray, of course, that you don't have it, that it's just a little stomach bug, but we just can't be sure.
Well, someone very close to you and I, our program director, his husband's nephew just lost his battle with COVID-19, 27 years old. So this thing is very real. Take it very, very seriously. And listen, I'm just staying home for now. My partner, Emil, is sleeping in the guest room. Every time he comes to see me, he wears a mask just to be safe. Because here, I've had like stomach issues. And while that's not the predominant characteristic of COVID-19, a symptom necessarily, it is one. And for many people, it's the only symptom they ever get. So just out of safety, I was around a couple people this weekend. And in my mind, I'd rather be safe than sorry. So here we are. So if the audio is not quite up to par, we apologize for that. We will be back in studio, hopefully, God willing, by Thursday, as long as I get a great test result. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for still hopping on. We adore you. I hope you had a great long weekend. I feel like it was...
The weekend was phenomenal. It wasn't until I went to bed Sunday night that I got weird. I felt great. I was living my best life all weekend.
Us too.
So at least it didn't get in the way of a good time. I mean, it just got me out of a day of work, which I'll take, whatever.
Honestly, you meant to do this. You're not even sick.
My timing is flawless. Look how healthy I showered this morning. I look like $1 million.
Your hair looks really good over Zoom.
It's dripping wet.
Yeah, well, hot.
So while my hair dries, why don't you give us some news on the beat?
You got it, babe. Well, coronavirus cases in the U.S., South and Southwest are rising so fast that contact tracing is no longer possible, according to a health expert. And because infection numbers never dropped to where officials hoped they would, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said the rapid rise is considered a surge, not a second wave. In Texas, at least 1,300 people have tested positive from childcare facilities alone. As national case counts hit new records daily, at least 24 states have paused or rolled back reopening plans. Florida's Miami-Dade County decided it was done playing by the state's rules and moved to shut down restaurants again. Atlanta's mayor said she tested positive. Nationally, the death toll has now topped 130,000. Yeah, Keisha Lance Bottom tested positive.
I haven't heard that.
Yesterday, she said, I had zero symptoms and I tested positive. Everyone needs to be careful. So, yeah, I mean, it's true. You've got to be, she's very cautious. Now, If you're celebrating a birthday, we have a lot of really special birthdays today. Beatle Ringo Starr hits the big 8-0. Channel Q artist and former Fifth Harmony member Ellie Brooke is 27. And our very own producer, Justin Bernal, hits the big 32 today, honey.
Oh my gosh, I forgot what day it was. I knew his birthday was coming. Justin, I'm so sorry. I knew his birthday was coming up. I've lived in a fog for the last 48 hours.
He's the youngest old man we've ever known. So it's Justin's great.
33?
32.
Wait, I thought you were 32 this whole time. No, you're 32.
I'm 32.
He's 31.
Now 32.
And I'm about to be 40 in less than 2 weeks. Let's move on.
Live it up, you guys. Okay, well, give us a vibe of the day.
Your dreams are about to deliver a guiding message of clarity and abundance.
Ooh.
Hang on.
Hang on, honey. All right, you guys. Well, there are some new older faces in radio that probably will replace us once you hear this audio for the new Channel Q.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Now, Michaela, this next story has me a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. There is a radio station online called Radio Recliner. They're doing something really fantastic. They're giving opportunities to those living in senior living centers to DJ for an hour, and they're replacing real DJs. These are music-loving senior citizens who remember when actual DJs used to, you know, we're with a DJ. I'm not going to say she's a senior citizen. I'm not going to say that's not what I'm saying.
I'm not saying that.
I'm saying, but she is old school DJ, like a real talented DJ. Well, so are these ladies and gentlemen. The programming is 100% run by residents of these senior living facilities. And how cute is this? Not only do they get to play like the music from their era, their genre, then they tell stories about the music they're playing, their eclectic sets they're sharing with listeners, and they tell stories of maybe a first kiss or a first dance or how this is the most adorable thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
This is beyond precious. Well, I can say, you know, for even my own grandparents, they used to hate pop music and modern music. They always wanted to listen to the music of their generation. So to not only be able to listen to their own music that they enjoyed, but to hear stories that they relate to, I think it's so cute.
Well, also, this is really cute. No, go ahead.
No, they can do requests. They can call in like you used to do and be like, hey, can you play Love by Frank Sinatra? And then they play it. And it's precious.
Girl, it's so funny because going to weddings and things like that as a child or school dances, I remember we used to always make requests. And as an adult, I never knew until I met a real DJ at a real club one time. They're like, what? No, we don't take requests. That's not how it works when you're a real DJ because you actually have sets put together. But speaking of sets, 73-year-old Bob Strand, he lives in Rochester, New York. He was asked to volunteer for the gig by the lifestyle director of his nursing home. So his set included music from ELO, Jethro Tull, the Mamas and the Papas, and Slim Whitman. I know who the Mamas and the Papas are. That's the only musical act I
agree. Well, you know, it's funny because also I'll say for myself, when I used to call into the radio, I mean, radio is iconic. And when I would call in, if I would hear my name on the radio, like if I tried to win something, I thought I was so famous. And I have a friend to this day who, you know, and his only dream when I actually got the show, every morning he would call me and he'd say, wake up, America, it's Mickey and Marky. And he has like this whole fake show that he does with me because he thought it would be so cool to have like a radio show. So I can only imagine, you know, when you're retired and you have like nothing going on, it's so stimulating for your mind to hear the music.
Absolutely. Mitch Bennett created this idea. He's one of the creators of Radio Recliner. And this was on behalf of his client, Bridge Senior Living. He says he wanted to create a way for those living there to have a sort of form of social media that made sense for them, which is so fantastic. Yeah. I remember being a little child and my grandmother used to tell me stories of listening to television shows and soap operas on the radio. The guiding light used to be on the radio before ever it became a soap opera. She used to tell me stories about Amos and Andy, which was a show they used to watch when she was much younger, and how radio was really their source of not just entertainment but information to the outside world. You know, before TVs really became a thing, before everybody had a TV in every bedroom and in every room in their house, it was all radio.
Before iPads?
So listen, yes, okay, let me tell you this fun story about my grandmother, about seniors and technology. So my grandmother, when she was probably in her late 70s or so, I got my very first iPad. She passed away years ago, but I brought an iPad home to her, and I opened up a race car driving thing, and she had to drive on it. She was laughing so hard. She asked me what else it did, and I opened up that you could play the piano. I remember generation one of the iPad, like one of the cool things was a piano keyboard, and I put that thing in front of her, and she played me a whole song, and I forgot. I forgot my grandmother knew how to play keyboard. We used to play at her house when we were younger. And I put this iPad in front of her and she liked nothing. She picked it up right away and just played a whole song for me on an iPad.
Meanwhile, Lisa's mom with technology knows how to do voice to text, but then the voice to text spells my name wrong every time. And then every time she goes, I know how to spell your name. It's Siri. And I'm like, we're working through this.
Well, I have to tell you this one story of one of the DJs. Her name is Cindy McGreevy. She's 83 years old. She said that it brought back the memories of the music that my husband and I would listen to time when we were in college together. She's since lost her husband. But imagine the power of a song to take you back to a place. Listen, every time I hear Greatest Love of All, I think of that moment just weeks ago where I sang to my family at a barbecue. Beautiful. And that's a moment that will live on in infamy.
Listen, that was beautiful. I do. I think that, you know, music even travels maybe in my own mind through like the airwaves of like Earth. Because when my grandma passed, our program director at like played two of her favorite songs.
Oh, I remember.
You remember that? Mm-hmm. And it did. It of course made me so emotional because music really brings you right back to that place. But it does. It's like a vibrational thing too. I mean, you know,
1,000%.
Spiritual.
My partner and I happened to be listening. We happened to have our Amazon Echo on at that time. We heard it and we're like, this seems odd for Channel Q. I wonder what's up. And I found out the next day it was for your grandmother.
Yeah. So we love music and I love that these senior citizens have an opportunity to be their own DJs. Now, here's another iconic competition, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, but it's actually the host getting all the glory. Find out why coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Now, this weekend, Michaela Gordon, something happened that's quite iconic. I don't know that we would be covering the story if it were not our producer Justin's birthday today, but he's very, very excited about this one. And I'm kind of excited too, low key. So on the 4th of July, there's a tradition. Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest takes place in New York City. Now, this year, they didn't have the fans that they're used to because of COVID-19 and social distancing, but that didn't mean that it still wasn't a competition that, one, broke records, and two, got some attention for something other than the hot dogs. Now, really quickly, though, I want to let you know, Joey Chestnut gobbled down 75 wieners and buns.
Honey, that's very on brand for this show.
In 10 minutes. So maybe it is the perfect story for us, actually. Winning his 13th title. And then also, Miki Sudo, she also won. She won in the women's division. She ate 48.5 hot dogs for her 7th title.
Okay, so I'm just going to say this to just say it. Like, that doesn't sound even reasonable. Like, they have to water it down before they can eat it. You might just baby bird it to each other.
Ketchup and mustard. No relish.
I've watched this. Here's why. I'm going to be honest with you. I used to practice in my backyard. When I was like 11 to see fast I could eat. There's a lot wrong with me.
Wait, how many did you eat? How many did you eat?
Like five, but when I was 11. But I had Googled how they did it and I saw that they got it wet first.
Yeah.
So I was like alone. I mean, what kind of loser did I actually look like? Well, in my backyard alone, wetting hot dogs eating.
He said the hot dogs were cooked really well this year, which enabled him to break the record.
Oh.
Girl, I will tell you, I went to a church camp one time years ago and there was a hot dog eating contest and I watched in pure disgust. I could not imagine. Like if I had to sit down right now, maybe not today because I've had some stomach issues the last couple of days, but in my healthiest, if I had to sit down and eat as many as I could humanly eat, I know I could comfortably eat 3, maybe as many as 5 if I had to. Like if I had to.
Yeah, if I had to right now, I would absolutely be there with you. But now that I'm 32, it all sounds different than when I was 11 and watering them and eating them. I'm like,
disgusting.
What kind of pig are you?
Okay, so these you would think are the stars of the show. Not by a long shot.
No.
The longtime MC of the show, George Shea, has some of the most iconic introductions to these contestants I've ever heard in my life. I'm jealous. I need to go take a master class and learn from this man. Here's one of the introductions. Take a listen.
in a world of nothing, of barren hills and cracked earth, and once proud oceans drained to sand, there will still be a monument to our existence, bleached by the sun perhaps, and blunted by time, but everlasting. Because this man represents all that is eternal in the human experience. The courage to stand for a nation when all others fail or turn away. The strength to recognize the value of freedom and to accept its cost, no matter how great. Through the curtain of the aurora, a comet blazes to herald his arrival. And his victories shall be transcribed into every language known to history, including Klingon.
Not Klingon. Every language known. Is that a Star Trek reference?
I don't even know, because also what he says is, and I'm goodbye with this, the Houdini of Quizzini, the David Blaine of the Bowel. Like, there's just so many references. The Evel Knievel of the Elementary Canal. Like, I don't know.
Here's what I need. Michaela Gordon. When the world resumes and you get back to performing live on stages across the world, because you are an international superstar, not quite at the level of a, say, Carrie Underwood, but you, in your own right, in your own mind, you are a superstar. I need you to put in your contract, your writer, whatever you do, that you must be introduced just like this.
Literally. Always. And I don't even want it to be for me. Like, I want them to be like the Evel Knievel of the Elementary Canal, the Houdini of Quizzini, Michaela Gordon. And then nobody will understand what that
means. What does it even mean? Nobody knows.
But I know what it means. And you know, actually, if I don't start getting introduced like that, I'm not showing up to the gig, honey.
Should I start introducing you that way as my co-host every single day? I open the show, so it is an opportunity for me to introduce
you.
Wow. Well.
Oh, wow. What a blessing for you.
You know what? Here's another blessing for our listeners. Let's listen to MC George Shea one more time. Let him take us out with another one of his rousing introductions.
He lost his arm to a Bengal tiger in a boyhood visit to the Atlanta Zoo, but his arm grew back. He can speak neutrino, the language of the sun, and all day long he listens to the conversations in the sky. He is superhuman, a new type of superhero, but he doesn't fight evil, he consumes it. He eats anger and hatred and violence, and he digests it into USDA certified organic fertilizer, perfect for growing daisies, the unofficial flower of peace.
You're listening to The Morning Beat, and it's that time in the morning where we set aside just a few minutes to check in on one another in a segment we call Checking In. It's the best title we can come up with.
It's really original, I think.
Totally. Totally.
Kind of mysterious, actually.
It really, we could be going to the doctor's office. We could be, who knows, checking in for a flight somewhere. Maybe we're about to take a trip. Who knows?
Yes.
But how are you? We haven't been in the studio together since Thursday.
Yeah.
Long, long holiday weekend. Longer by me getting a little bit ill and now recording from home for a couple extra days. But how are you?
You know what's so funny? Yesterday, I get funny. Like, I always want a vacation or like 4 days off, and then I get them. And then come like the fifth day, I'm like, okay, I've sort of had enough. I'm a little bored now. But yesterday, I woke up in a funk, honey. I was just like in a mood, like where I just wanted to start crying. And I was like, girl, what is wrong with you? And then I was like, hold on, show yourself some grace. What's going on? And I mean, look, it's just up and down at all times. Now, I didn't come into this pandemic emotionally stable necessarily, but I'm not leaving it either, please.
Yeah.
Like, I feel just yesterday was a tough day for me.
Be honest. Were you low key a little bit thrilled then when you realized that I was sick and we'd be doing a repeat show yesterday because I couldn't make it to studio? Well, you were kind of excited.
No, you know, I think that it's really important to find routine, and I'm finding routine going in studio, and then I like go work out. I think my brain needs it because it's just been very overwhelming. Hearing of people passing and watching people really having a difficult time. You know, yeah. I think we talked about this last week too. I was talking about this with my friend. We're doing as look, I really can't complain. I have a roof over my head. I have
no girl. Stop it. Complain. Go ahead. Complain. You're allowed.
But kind of, you got to like let yourself do that without feeling guilty. Cause like we're still feeling feelings, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially I think if you're lucky enough like us to be working right now, right? And to have a platform on top of it, not only are we working, we're covering this thing every single day for months now, which yeah. is such a blessing. But also, it takes its toll mentally. It's exhausting. I know that when I heard of Nick Cordero's passing, I was like, this is going to affect Michaela. She's going to have a hard time with this because this is somebody we were rooting for. We were invested in him, you know, and listening to the stories from his wife and the updates and constantly thinking he'd maybe turned a corner and then he passed.
That's what it is. I guess where I'm at with Nick Cordero and even the world is like, we think we're making progress. We're going to reopen. He's mm-hmm. feeling better. And then bam, he's passed.
It's worse.
The world is reshutting. Yep. And you're like, I think that's almost worse than giving us hope. Well, and I just share this only so that other people know, like, I'm just going through it too.
No, it's totally normal. And this idea of hope and holding on to something we think in our minds, what my partners had to remind me, because we were trying to plan a 40th birthday getaway and then the resorts closed down again. And I was kind of bummed. He's like, listen, we just have to be prepared that 2020 is a wash. Like the entire year of 2020, yeah. at least. Just assume that nothing's going to be close to normal until 2021 at the very earliest. And then you won't be so let down. Because right. I kept thinking like, oh, three more weeks, one more month, things are going to change. And all of a sudden it's going to go away. Nothing's changed.
I saw this meme that said, you said it would all be better by June. Jew lied. That's so true.
Totally true.
Thank you for letting me check in today and have a little cry fest with you, only because I just am feeling for everybody and just up and down, but I'm here with you. And of course, so is AJ, and we're here every day.
Listen, you're so lucky. I love roller coasters. I just love them.
Honey, I'm Six Flags. All right. Well, coming up, we've all gotten very familiar with Zoom, but find out how people are spending thousands of dollars on Zoom makeovers. We'll have that story coming up next.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, we've got a woman who spent thousands of dollars on a makeover over Zoom. Her reaction might shock you. We have that story coming up in 20 minutes from now. Also, come on, gays. We got to do better, fellas. I saw hundreds, if not thousands of men on Fire Island. The pictures and the videos have gone viral. We have our thoughts. We're going to share those this hour. But first, Michaela Gordon, it's almost time for news on the beat. But how are you? How are we doing? What's
I'm
going
doing
on?
I'm good.
It's Tuesday. You know, it's Tuesday. It's
not like our favorite day, but it's Tuesday.
But it's also our producer Justin's birthday, so it's a mixed bag.
It is. It's a good day. It's a good day because he's 32 now. He's finally grown up. It's like you're finally old enough to be the father that you are. So that's nice.
31 was unacceptable. This
just
wasn't
too
ready.
Young, just irresponsible. So what? He had a fiance already. It's like, grow up. He can't talk back, so we're literally trolling him.
I know, we've got him on mute right now. Well, we're home doing our show via Zoom today because I've had a little bit of an issue the last couple of days. I haven't been feeling too great. And before I come back into studio, I want to be super safe. So I'm going to the doctor today, getting tested once again. So we're doing the show via Zoom right now, and our producer is in his little Zoom box. Muted. He can't say a word. So we're going to have so much fun on his birthday and speak for him.
However, coming up, Bennett Bernal will be joining us. He is 6 months old. He's calling in to wish his father a happy birthday.
And shockingly, he's actually better on air than his dad is. So there's that. So our producer's going crazy right now. He's also going to go crazy if I don't toss it to news on the beat. So why don't I do that?
Okay, well, despite the pandemic, President Trump is employing a re-election strategy of divisive rhetoric with inflammatory speeches, tweets, and statements. He recently condemned NASCAR's decision to ban the Confederate flag and called to preserve statues of Confederate generals who took up arms against the U.S., among other claims that American history is under attack. Now, the president is pinning his hopes for another 4 years on the idea that his silent majority of voters in rural parts of swing states and in the suburbs will respond to his warnings, writes CNN's Stephen Collinson, but his support among well-educated voters is eroding, and recent national and district-level polls suggest that voters souring on Trump could turn on Republican congressional candidates, too.
Fingers crossed. Here's the thing. Imagine staking your entire, you know, run up your entire campaign to re-election for the president of the United States on hoping that people who are fearful or hateful or ignorant are going to crawl out the woodwork from under their rocks and vote for you. That's okay, a strategy right
are
now.
Are we going to talk about this at all? Kanye West apparently running as well.
Blah, blah.
I mean, welcome to 2020.
If he Jill Steins this election, I swear to God. Kanye, yeah. Sit down. He hasn't even filed the proper paperwork.
That's what
yet.
I'm saying. How do you even announce that you haven't filed the proper paperwork?
I don't even know
and
if he knows.
And behind him.
Well,
and,
of course.
But now, honestly, here's the best thing that we got out of this. The memes of the Kardashians walking into the White House. They have been so insane. Kris Jenner walking into the White House for the first time.
But
it's
how,
hilarious.
How on brand would that be for America in 2020?
Listen, the Kardashians in the White House. It's
wow.
That's just the cherry on top of this wonderfully burnt cake. Now, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in good company. You're celebrating with Vanderpump Rules star Tom Sandoval. He's 37. Former Olympian Michelle Kwan hits the big 4-0. And
girl,
of course, you love her.
I'm obsessed. I'm at home right now looking at an autograph of Michelle Kwan. She autographed a piece of paper for me like 10 years ago.
Happy birthday. And of course, to our producer, Justin, who's turning 32 today. Happy, happy birthday. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Your dreams are about to deliver a guiding message of clarity and abundance.
Love it. Love to see it. All right, you guys. Well, listen, Zooms have really taken over, but now people are talking about Zoom makeovers. Find out what that is and why people are spending thousands of dollars coming up.
So the interesting thing about this pandemic, Michaela Gordon, is it's really forced us to adjust the way we live our lives. It's made us think outside the box. Obviously, we're doing our show via Zoom for the next couple of days out of an abundance of caution. And many people are working from home and have been for months and might be for the rest of the year and beyond.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's done something really cool, though. It's making us think in different ways. Georgia Marantos is one of those women who's thinking in different ways. So she's a 50-year-old woman. She's a tarot card reader. She lives in New York City in Manhattan in the Upper West Side. And she decided to step up her game because she wanted to take her skills online and start doing more YouTube videos about her brand. Well, previously, she would just take a shower, throw her hair back, or let her hair air dry and hop online 5 minutes later. Well, she realized that wasn't cutting it anymore, so she decided to hire a stylist via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really interesting. She hired Alexandra Suzanne Greenwald, who's a 45-year-old stylist from New York, for a 4 to 6 week comprehensive makeover, which does not,
four
by the way,
6 weeks.
Yep, does not include the price of any new clothing, makeup, or hair. This is just for the consultation. This is just
what
for
are you learning in 4 to 6 weeks,
well,
when
actually,
hopping on a computer for a meeting?
Girl, you take this for granted, but you started being on TV when you were 15, 16 years old.
Yes, bring it back to me, honey.
But you know how to be on TV. I know how to be on TV. I know what hairstyles look best on TV. I know that I should always wear jewel tones when I'm on TV because they pop and they really look fantastic. But this woman did not know this.
Okay, babe, but you just told me that in 4 to 6 minutes. Like, we need 4 to 6 weeks to say wear jewel tones.
Okay, well, here are some of the things she helped her out with. It wasn't just her makeover, not just her styling. Although she did style her via Zoom, she gave her tips and tricks on what sort of things to buy. They went online shopping together, found the right accessories, which I think is super, super cute. Something that a lot of people don't think about, though, and you did this about a week or so ago. You were trying to hide. We were doing a Zoom pre-recorded interview
with DJ Tracy Young.
And all of a sudden she's like, Michaela, I can barely see you. Put the light in front of you. And you had the light behind you. Now, you know better, but you were actually trying to hide.
I was in hiding.
Real rookies oftentimes are lit from behind and they don't understand the importance of lighting.
Listen, some of the best gags were in the very beginning of this Zoom. Remember when we had to have Zoom meetings and people were like not getting it? Like the camera was only like to their mouth. Terrible. They didn't realize it needed to be the whole face to our producer, Justin. They didn't know that like you could actually see everything if you stood up.
Didn't know what they didn't know. I walked through my partner's Zoom meeting last week with 500 employees from across the country with Hearst Media in my bright yellow boxer brief underwear. So that's
getting it wrong.
That happened to me. But lighting is super important. I used to work at Good Day LA out here in Southern California. And Steve Edwards, he was the host of the show for many years. It was a nationally syndicated show for a while back in the day. But as I worked with him, he was at the end of his career. And he was, how do I put it lightly, old as dirt. The guy was old. He was still sharp as can be. So great on camera. However, he didn't look like he looked 10 or 20 years ago. And his lighting, let me tell you, they had his lighting down to a T.
Oh, yeah.
He never moved from that spot. It was exactly set up for him. So well, that's a big part of it. And so she talks about this. The setup is really super important when you're going to be on camera. And that's one of the things.
This is my favorite thing that people are also doing. You know how they're doing the green screen background?
Yes.
But every time they move, their head like gets blurry too. And then the screen goes in and out. That's also another fan favorite.
No, our program director, Brian, thinks he's so witty by doing the channel cue background, but it cuts off his hair and ear. Part of his chin every time he turns. He doesn't
his eye sometimes.
I don't have the heart to tell him. I don't.
Well, I think we just did. So
wait, if you have green eyes and you go on a green screen, your eyes like turn to whatever.
Do you look like a reptile? That's a good question.
Maybe.
Well, I think that these are all really good tips. And I think that if you're in a situation where you're auditioning for something or interviewing for a job where you need to look nice, that these tips could be helpful. But I also think that people are very realistic right now with where we're at.
Yeah.
And I've honestly lost expectation in myself. Like once I started hopping on with no makeup and curly hair, I was like, why? I don't need to spend thousands of dollars. Love me as I am.
Well, if you are one of those who are looking to spend a little money and to maybe get a new job or audition for something, or maybe you're starting a YouTube channel, you want to go up on Instagram Live and share your expertise. Just know, here's my pointer for you. Don't wear messy patterns.
Yeah.
Don't ever wear white. Wear bright, vibrant colors that showcase, like, that look good on camera. But if you're in front of a green screen, also, by all means, don't wear green.
Hello.
You'll be a floating head.
All right. Well, listen, and we're not pointing any names, Brian. We are not saying any names.
We're not pointing any names, Michaela.
We're not pointing fingers. We're not saying any names.
Brian
That's what
Holt.
I get for trying to drag Brian, and then I drag
Brian,
myself.
Your Zoom background is goofy. It's just goofy. I'll just say
Brian, it. Keep it going. No, keep it going.
Who needs two ears? I said what I said.
All right, done. I'm done with you. Stop. Okay, so Fire Island is trending after videos of packed parties and defiant COVID carriers live their best lives. I mean, honey, it's the gays and we're talking the details. They needed a green screen for Fire Island this year coming up.
You know what, Michaela Gordon, I'm going to be really honest. This next story kind of has my blood boiling.
Yep.
And this might not be a popular opinion. It might get me a little bit of blowback and I'm okay with that. But knowing what the generations before us went through with the AIDS epidemic.
That's right.
And living through that pandemic in its own right, to now see these young people, or people of all ages, I'll just say, at Fire Island over the weekend, partying, raving, living their best lives in their Speedos with no mask on, no social distancing whatsoever. And then not just that, being defiant about it.
Yeah.
Posting these videos and photos on social media makes me so upset. I don't know how to put words to it.
Listen, I always am here for a gag. You know, I have like a ridiculous sense of humor. I find things really funny that are dark or sarcastic, even a little rebellious, but this is just disgusting, to be honest. I think that the irresponsibility coming out of all of these gays in Fire Island. Listen, I love Dinah Shore. I love strutting around in my bikini.
Girl, I've gone to white parties. I've been at white party 10 years in a row. I get it.
You listen, and trust me, I have wanted nothing more than to go to the beaches. Part of me has been like, is COVID that serious? I want to go. But we're seeing more and more people getting COVID. And honestly, somebody said it the way that you did. I mean, we should be embarrassed. that we've learned nothing from the HIV pandemic, but then criticize Trumpists for denying science and then turn around and start breathing without masks and partying.
And New York City was so hard hit for months. And I get it. I understand wanting to get out of the house. I understand that. And I also understand that, listen, you and I are in long-term relationships. So maybe we don't feel the need to go to these events.
Single me would probably thrive. I would probably desperately want to go, still wouldn't.
I get it. But here's a question though. Could this whole pandemic be an opportunity for everyone, gay men included, to maybe do things a little differently? Maybe a Sunday tea dance isn't necessarily the way to live your best life. Maybe there is a new way to connect with people and to find a deeper meaning and not just go rave on a beach in a Speedo during a global pandemic and not think twice about it. One man in particular really irks me. His name is Corey Hannon. He got on his social media and his arrogant self says, listen, yeah, I had COVID and I've been staying home in my apartment for 8 days. I'm over it. I hope you all get COVID. And he threw some expletives in there as well. I'm like, first of all, 8 days is not a sufficient amount of time, you moron. Second of all, you self-entitled jerk to say that you want other people to get it after you just got over it yourself. And to go to this party knowingly, not out of the 14 days of quarantine, not out of that window yet, because he wanted to live his best life on Fire Island, couldn't wait one more year to do it next summer. Just makes me so mad.
Well, listen, I also don't believe this is just a gay thing. I mean, we've watched
Florida beaches
in Huntington. I mean, the privilege is Fire Island, because they shut everything else down.
It's certainly not a gay thing. And that's why I said it frustrates me that unlike any other demographic in our country, the gay community intimately knows the struggle of a pandemic. I would think that we would know better. There's one man, this is wild. There's one man who was actually there and then was posting stuff on social media. And his family said, also his dad got on there and said, don't come home. Yep. The house you're living in, you're no longer welcome, you self-entitled jerk, because you and your mom and I are both cancer survivors. Your mom actually has chemotherapy on Friday. And you're going to go out into that environment and then you're going to bring it home?
I mean, we talk about white privilege. That truly is part of the white privilege. I mean, we're not asking you to be safe for you. We're asking you to be safe for our loved ones, for our moms and dads and aunts and people that have underlying conditions. I mean, also, it's mind-boggling that they would put it on social media, not thinking they would get dragged. One guy got fired. He had a really good job as an analyst at FX. He's done. He's fired. It makes me wonder.
It makes me wonder, because by looking at these videos and photos, by and large, these are younger people. They're not the older generation of our community. They're young. And it just makes me wonder if they have any friends who are maybe in their 50s or 60s or late 40s, who lived through the AIDS pandemic, who maybe are living with HIV now and they're immune compromised.
You can't tell me out of those thousands of gays, not one has ever met or been close to somebody that had HIV. That is just crazy.
Exactly.
They're doing it willingly.
The lack of not just self-respect, but respect for others' lives and their health. I can't imagine. We've had so many guests on the show early in the pandemic from Palm Springs, and talk to listeners there about, what do we need to know if you're living with HIV and you're living through this pandemic right now? And by and large, they shut down everything very, very quickly, all the festivals, everything, because it is not worth the risk. This Fire Island is not worth the risk. And I just don't understand how they don't understand that.
Well, here's another story coming up regarding our community. Halle Berry is dropping out of a role after protests happened in regards to it being a trans role. She has an official statement. It came out this morning. We're going to talk about it coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. In just a moment, we're in What's Poppin'. We're going to be talking about an Ohio native. She's from my home state, Halle Berry, in some hot water right now. So stick around for that conversation. It's juicy. But first, we want to thank you for listening to us on our show each and every day. If you missed any of our conversations or want to take a second listen, download the radio.com app. Take The Morning Beat with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. Please and thank you. Now, Michaela Gordon, The casting world has been shaken through this pandemic, through the Me Too movement, through Time's Up, through so many things happening, Black Lives Matter. What's the latest on Halle Berry? What's popping?
So this story's crazy. I actually saw it yesterday. Now, we're coming to you with a few more new details that surfaced late last night into the morning. Halle Berry is dropping out of playing a trans role after protests over misgendering. It started with an interview on Instagram Friday with her hairstylist, Kristen Brown, and they were talking about playing a trans man role in an unnamed film. And Halle Berry said it's a character where the woman is a trans character. So she's a woman that transitioned into a man. She's a character in a project that I love. And I might be doing Who This Woman Was So Interesting to Me. And that will probably be my next project. And then, of course, the community went wild. They said, listen, we've talked about this. And honestly, we have. You know, here's where I sort of fall with it all. I think that we desperately need trans representation. So while I always want to make sure that the best person is getting the opportunity to play the role, I do think that it should go to a trans person because there's such lack of visibility. And I also think that they don't even get brought into the room. I think a lot of times they're not even seen. So people were upset. They said, why give it to a cis woman? It created some controversy. She acknowledged it. She said, you know what? I got to learn from my mistakes. But here's the conversations that it opens up. And this is where it really bothers me. 50 Cent hit Instagram and he posted a photo of Halle Berry. And he said, basically, not verbatim, what he said was, I think you're so beautiful. So now I'm going to look like a gay man if I still think you are. Halle, don't play this role. No way. And that's so problematic. And now these are the conversations that are being had. They've also turned it into not letting wanting for Black women to strive and thrive. Again, I've been in all of the protests. I'm fighting there with you. But if you're a trans character, if you're looking to play a trans character, bring in a trans person. Give them the opportunity.
Yeah, first of all, 50 Cent is he's problematic in a lot of different ways, so I won't even address him because I think he's kind of scum and he's very ignorant. Secondly, I understand the backlash. I do. And again, this might not be a popular opinion, but I don't believe that every single character that is trans needs to always be played by a trans actor. Not every single time. I'm not saying that she should or should not have stepped down from this role, because here's the thing. You've got to look at it from a few different angles. Should trans actors be brought in for all of these roles? 1,000%. Does that mean they're always the best to play them? Maybe, but maybe sometimes not. Because having somebody like Halle Berry signed on, if you want to tell the story, if the importance is to tell the story and to get that story out there, then I could understand why you might bring on somebody like a Halle Berry, right? I get that. But if your story, if your goal is to stay, I guess, as true as possible to the story, then the option might be a trans actress. And I get that too.
Here's a nice point that you just made. And this is food for thought. We can think about it. The same way that Black people said, white people, start using your privilege to stand up for Black people. If cis people like Halle Berry started normalizing and showing that playing trans characters was really great, unlike the way that trans characters could do, maybe she's using her fame and privilege to help the trans community. It's a conversation worth having.
Yeah.
We can talk about it tomorrow. I have a lot more for you coming up in our next hour. We're talking with Doc Halligan on the right dog for your living space. How to make sure that your dog is comfortable when making a move. We'll have those coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Tuesday, July 7th. We hope you're doing well. We know that we are. Michaela Gordon, as we're recording from home again for a couple of days, because you never know what the pandemic is going to throw your way. Here we are. I miss your face. It's good
miss
to see you,
babe.
On Zoom, though. Thank God for Zoom, right?
We love Zoom. I'm thriving. If I can't see you in person, at least to see your face, see how you're doing, talking, I'm into it. Maybe I'll get a Zoom makeover. If you guys missed our last conversation, you can hear us on our podcast.
Yeah. Go listen to it. Coming up this hour, we have another great hour for you, though. We've got Doc Halligan, our celebrity veterinarian, on the show. She's talking to us about what kind of dog should you get for, or kind of pet you should get for your living space? I grew up with labs. Is it smart to have a lab in an apartment? Who knows? We'll find out. I think I have an answer, though.
Yeah.
We're also talking about This is interesting. This is coming out of Berlin, Germany. Public transportation there is discouraging deodorant, so that we're making telling people not to wear deodorant, which encourages people to wear face masks. Is it a good approach? Is it not? Is it crazy?
And now we'll discuss opinions.
We will discuss it. But first, Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beat?
All right, guys. Well, coronavirus cases in the U.S. South and Southwest are rising so fast that contact tracing is actually no longer possible, according to a health expert. And because infection numbers never drop to where officials hoped they would, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said the rapid rise is considered a surge, not a second wave. Now, in Texas, at least 1,300 people have tested positive from childcare facilities alone as national case counts hit new records daily. At least 24 states have paused or rolled back reopening plans. Now, Florida's Miami-Dade County decided it was done playing by the state's rules and moved to shut down restaurants again. Atlanta's mayor says she tested positive. Nationally, the death toll has now topped 130,000. And I will say that Keisha Lance Bottoms came out yesterday and said, I had zero symptoms. I just got tested and I tested positive. So you got to remember, it's really not caring what your age is. If you have a family like Nick Cordero, if you're going to have complications from COVID or if you have no symptoms, I encourage really everybody to get tested because you just don't know.
Yeah, I'm getting tested again today. I've been tested 3 times. I'm doing it again. Why not?
I feel like that's a very you thing. That's a very on-brand thing for you, though. Like, well, it's one of my things that I love about you. You're like, I'm going again.
Well, I got tested for my parents because I was going home to Ohio. I wanted to make sure they were safe. Then I got tested when I came back because I wanted to make sure you guys were safe. And now, you know, I've been sick for a couple of days now, and it could just be a bug. I don't know.
I love that. Listen,
but I'd rather
I wish
be safe.
That people, listen, I wish that people would take the precautions that you are taking. Sure, it may seem excessive, but as we've talked about so many times, it's not necessarily about you. It's about the people that you're around.
Yeah, what I will say, though, is thank God I have insurance. I paid for one of these out of pocket, and I might have to pay for another one out of pocket today. But I was checking online yesterday for free COVID testing in Los Angeles, and everywhere I called was between like $200 and $250 to get a test.
Yeah,
to get a rapid test. So if other people are struggling with that as well, I mean, it keeps people from getting tested, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, that's a huge problem too, which is a whole nother conversation that we can have with Sam McGarrett Pate, possibly on Wednesday, our political expert. Now, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday, you're in good company. You're celebrating with Channel Q artist and former Fifth Harmony member Ali Brooke. She's 27. Vanderpump Rules star Tom Sandoval turns 37. Comedian Jim Gaffigan turns 54. And our very own Justin Bernal, our producer, turns 32.
Woo-hoo. You know, I've known Ali Brooke for years. She's a sweetheart.
I love that. And she's a baby. 27. Yeah. Wow.
I've interviewed her a few times. We used to go to the same church randomly. She's a great girl.
That's so sweet. All right. Well, hit us with the vibe of the day.
Your dreams are about to deliver a guiding message of clarity and abundance.
Love it. Love to hear it. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, Doc Halligan joins us to talk about the right living space for your dog. You won't want to miss that conversation coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat, and it is Tuesday, and you know what that means. We have one of our favorite guests on the show, celebrity veterinarian Doc Halligan. Thank you so much for joining us. Do I hear birds in the background? Do you have some birds nearby?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a really nice yard that, yes, we have birds.
That's so nice.
I get crows here. They're really loud. They don't sound nearly as nice. All right. So let's talk about those looking for a pet. You know, I've been on this journey. We're nowhere closer than we were a few weeks ago, so I'll drop it. But many people, as we quarantine longer and longer, they're looking at maybe getting a dog for the very first time. Me personally, I grew up with Labrador retrievers and Golden retrievers, but I live in 1,100 square feet right now. Is that a good fit for me, or because of my living space, should I look at a different size dog?
You could get a Great Dane living in 1,100 square foot.
Okay.
Because they're couch potatoes. They don't need a lot of exercise. So there you go.
So they fit right in.
That's kind of an ideal dog. Yes. It just relaxes and you relax.
Yes. And they have personality. You can sit, they'll sit on your lap. Even though they're big like that, yeah, they're great dogs.
Oh, wow.
That's so nice. Yeah, because now for me, you know, I live in like a little cottage, a 500 square foot house. I could never, there's certain dogs I would not be able to have, right?
Yes. I mean, there's certain dogs that are very, very high energy, like a German short-haired pointer would be a disaster for either one of you because those dogs, they need a yard. They're high maintenance. They have such a high energy requirement that it wouldn't be ideal for a place that are on the smaller side and also people that, you know, work a lot. So you really have to think of the breed of dog that you're getting when you get the dog. Otherwise, it's not going to be the right fit.
Just so you know, Doc Halligan, I'm online right now Googling German short-haired pointer. They're gorgeous. It's like a hunting dog. Yeah, it's, yeah they yeah. have a lot of energy.
Oh, they're hunting dogs. But let me tell you, my parents were in their 60s and they got one. And I was like, Mom. And sure enough, they had to rehome it because... You know, they just, there's no way they could help that dog have a great life because they high energy. So yeah, that's what you have to do is look for that. I mean, but there's certain breeds that don't have high energies, you know, like a Maltese. Those were bred to be lap dogs. Looking at the heritage and the, where they came from and what their purpose was helps you to determine their energy level.
Okay, for what about somebody who loves, like maybe they love dogs that are cuddly and that they could be like their best friend. They don't have too much of an attitude. They can be big or medium size. Because I don't like really tiny dogs. They're just too little for me.
Right.
So somebody like that who lives in, you know, maybe 1,000 square foot, what's the perfect kind of dog?
Of a Heinz 57 for you.
Oh.
I would recommend a mixture, a, you know, like a, one of these dogs with the little short legs and the long backs.
Oh, Rocco.
Yeah,
that have personality galore, a unique dog, one of a kind, where everyone will be like, oh my gosh, what kind of dog is that? And you can make up this wild breed or you can be honest and tell them.
No lie. It's more fun to lie. Well, Doc, I want to ask you this because as my dog is approaching 8 years old, I want to kind of figure out what this means. They say for every year a dog is, you add 7 years. Is that true? Is my dog like 64 years old now?
What does your dog weigh?
He weighs 18 pounds.
18 pounds. So, and you said he's eight. So he's, I've got a chart that I put together. So he's roughly around 48 years in human years. So that old rule of 7 years doesn't really stand. Now, a dog that weighed over 90 pounds that was eight would actually be 64. So dogs that are bigger age faster.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a chart. You can look it up. There's charts that tell you. So smaller dogs live longer because they age roughly around 5 years per year. That's just an estimate. And then the bigger dogs age 7 to 8 years per year. They don't live as long.
Why is that? Is it because of, do their organs start to break down because they have to work
think
harder?
About it, yeah. The big dog has to pump blood everywhere, right? And a huge dog, whereas a little dog, you know, it's all smaller. So it doesn't have to work as hard. It just one pump and, you know, it kind of goes everywhere. So yeah, probably we're thinking that's why they.
So, okay.
Fast.
So I'm 6'5" and a half, weigh about 210, 215. Michaela's about 4 foot, nothing. You're telling me that I'm definitely kicking the can.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Well, women do live longer than men. I hate to say, but
awesome.
We do.
I am having quite the day. Am I right? Yes. You and me, Doc, we'll be having like cocktails in 40 years just on
that's
the beach.
Right.
We'll be like, oh, we loved those men in our lives, but now
I'll be long gone.
I'll have my 107-year-old dog. It'll be perfect. It's like,
yes.
Doc, we love and appreciate you so much. Thank you for always answering all of our pet questions that come from us and our listeners. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, you guys, have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
All right, bye.
All right, you guys, there's a story coming out of Berlin where the stinkier you are, the easier you may be able to take transportation. Find out why coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Michaela, you know, one thing that drives me crazy when I go to the store or I'm out in public is I see people wearing masks. By and large, most people in Los Angeles, I've noticed, are wearing masks. A stark difference from when I went to Ohio a couple of weeks ago and literally nobody had a mask on outside of my family.
Yeah, well, I mean, the difference is it is mandated here. It's mandated in Vegas. You kind of have to. Doesn't mean they're wearing it right, but they're wearing it.
Also, I think there's we're a different type of people here in Los Angeles than my hometown. Very, very small town, conservative, certain way of thinking that even if it were mandated in Ohio, I can't imagine many people in my hometown would listen to the mandate. They don't like the government in their lives, blah, blah, blah. They right. think it's a political issue. Well, when I go to the store, though, and I see people wearing a mask and then they have their mask down under their nose is fully exposed. I'm like, that doesn't count.
It's like a chin strap.
You have to cover your. Yeah. Or they wear it completely under their chin like it does. I'm like, that doesn't work. It does not work.
It's hanging off just one ear.
One ear.
They, like, slowly put it back if they get caught.
Well, the city of Berlin, Germany. They're taking a new approach to get people to cover not just their mouths, but also their noses. They put out an ad. This is really funny. Encouraging people to no longer wear deodorant, hoping that by doing that, the pungent odor that infiltrates their subway system, their mass transit, will be so bad that people will now wear masks and not just cover their mouth, but their nose. What do you think about this?
Okay, kind of iconic because the smell of body odor makes me cringe.
Oh, there's nothing worse.
I feel like even the mask wouldn't cover up the smell. Like, imagine 50 people around you not wearing deodorant. Your measly little mask is going to keep the scent out.
Well, what about, okay, so maybe this should happen. Maybe those blue paper masks that so many of us are wearing that are finally available everywhere. What if they're treated with like Gain or Bounce fabric softener or something like that?
Yeah, that would be nice.
What if they were scented? Is that too much? Like, would it be too much to smell the entire day?
No, I think it'd be like clean laundry, which always smells so nice. Listen, I think that people didn't have to come to this, but people don't like to listen to the rules. So now you have to deal with BO. And, but I'll tell you what, Lisa, my partner, I don't know about anybody else. I don't have a really strong nose, but I feel bad for the people that can smell anything. Lisa has this nose that can smell anything, any odor, anything at all. And we've been on planes where she's like, I have to move. I'm sorry. I have to. And I'm like, I can't smell anything. She's like, no, we have to move.
Lisa's kind of a diva. I'm here for
it. No, she can smell it. She can like smell any kind of body odor. So there's also people like that. But listen, that's what you get. You should have worn your mask. Stop wearing it like a chin strap.
Well, I'm coming back to this idea. Our producer, Justin, says that at this point, though, if you put like Bounce or fabric softener in your nose, that then you're just sniffing chemicals the whole time, which is probably not a good thing either. I come to this idea, though, because I remember back in college. I'm not saying I was partaking in this at all. But in the college dorm room,
here we go.
People used to smoke some marijuana. And then I did. I would help them by taking a paper towel roll and stuffing it full of Bounce, like fabric softener sheets. And so then you take a hit and then you'd blow out through that into a pile of clothing to try to mask the smell so that your RA. Yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when I was younger and I was smoking cigarettes at the time because I was a cool guy, that I was so cool, I would smoke the cigarette and blow it into the air ventilator in the bathroom. And that was supposed to mask the scent. Did you ever do that?
Wait, how did you get your tiny little butt up to that air vent?
I'd stand on the toilet seat.
You're embarrassing.
And then I'd stand on the sink. I'd get from the toilet seat to the sink and then blow it in the air ventilator.
Wow.
Listen, I thought we were relating. I didn't know I was going to get judged. The look on both of your faces, I was just like, opening up.
Please, I'm a cool guy. You sound like a weirdo. You sound like a weirdo.
Listen, it's hard to mask those scents. Literally hard to mask them. But I think that, listen, that's what you get. You should have worn your mask. You have to wear your mask. It's not for the safety for you. It's for others. It's going to be a little stinky.
And if it takes body odor to get you to wear it, I'm all in, Berlin. Well done.
I am too. All right, you guys. Well, this story was just devastating. We're talking about Nick Cordero and his final days this weekend, but more importantly, his heartwarming love story he shares with his wife, Amanda Klutz. We'll talk about that coming up in What's Poppin'.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, usually in What's Poppin', we do some like juicy, controversial stories. This is a story I was hoping we would never, ever have to cover. Unfortunately, here we are. Michaela Gordon, I'll let you take it away. What's poppin'?
Well, it is just so devastating. As you know, we've been talking about Broadway star Nick Cordero and his beautiful wife, Amanda Kloots. Now, just to put this in a timeline perspective, when 2020 began, Nick and Amanda were just an average showbiz happy couple, parents of a six-month-old baby, renovating a house on Love Street in Los Angeles, if you can stand it. And they moved there while Nick Cordero was starring in a production of Rock of Ages, the musical he made his Broadway debut in 8 years ago. And then March 30th, everything took a turn when Nick went to the ER with what was first diagnosed as pneumonia. And then over the next few months, we really watched as the theater and fitness worlds and countless people were praying and tweeting and Instagramming that he was forced into a coma. He had to have his leg amputated. And I didn't realize this. He was 6'5", 41 years old. So healthy, performing six nights a week, a first-time homeowner, a proud dad, devoted husband, and he unfortunately lost his battle against COVID this weekend. And of course, celebrities all over are just outpouring with grief online. His very best friend, Zach Braff, who he also met in the Broadway world, said, the world can rest assured that Amanda and Elvis will never want for anything. Of course, Jenna Dewan did, but the real story, I think, is Amanda Kloots. You know, she's been so positive in this whole journey. I feel like if I were like a grieving wife, I would have never been as positive and optimistic as she was. And she continues to be, as she shares on Instagram, her own love story that she had with Nick. Her family steps up as well. And it's just incredibly sad. I know Nick and I have so many mutual friends. People are absolutely devastated. They cannot believe somebody like Nick would be somebody to succumb to COVID. And I think that yesterday, it put me in a spot that maybe I've been a little bit more naive than I should be. I mean, he's a healthy, all-around, normal, young guy. 41 yeah. is young.
I'll be 40 in less than 2 weeks. I'm 6 foot five. It just hearing it and reading it sounds,
it hits differently.
It's like me. That would be yes. me. And in my mind, I'm still 20. But the reality is I'm not. And, you know, I've had a flu or something, hopefully, for the last couple of days. I'm getting tested later today just to be safe. But you can never be too safe. And I wear my mask in public almost religiously. There have been moments, though, where I'll see an old friend. I did it the other day and my partner yelled at me. I saw an old friend, ran into him for the first time in years and gave him a hug and can't even help it. And then all of a sudden, a few days later, I'm sick and I'm like, wait, is this related? You know, like you have to be super safe.
You have to be so safe. And I think that you also have to be really mindful because like you said, I'm so used to hugging and kissing people. It comes naturally. I don't even think about it. And I think that's another reason why they had to start closing some of the bars. You have a couple cocktails. You naturally just live your truth and see your friends. But you know, let Nick Cordero, and I'm speaking to myself, truly, I'm not trying to preach. Let this be an example that whether you believe if it's real or it's not, or it's conspiracy or they have a vaccine or they don't, COVID is real. And we are watching a man who had a beautiful life working as a Broadway star six nights a week, first time homeowner. This all just in March, just had a baby, just got married. I mean, the possibilities were endless.
On May 12th, he woke up. He was okay. He thought he was going to turn a corner,
and then he just didn't. And so please, just as we talk to everybody, just, you know, think about that. Do what you will, you know, with the information, of course. But I do. I think that it just changed my perspective a little bit. And it's just really sad. I feel really bad for the Kloots family and his family as well. All right, you guys, well, coming up in our final hour, we are joined, this ought to put us in a good mood, you know and love Justin Martindale, a friend of Channel Q. You remember him from E! What the Fashion, but he has a new show coming out called Tick Talk, and we're talking about it coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Coming up in our final hour, we're joined by Channel Q family, Justin Martindale. He's doing something really cool on YouTube. that you need to know about. It's really super exciting stuff. And then also, we're having a conversation about the videos and the photos coming out of Fire Island this weekend as thousands gather on a beach in their Speedos to live their best lives. Some of them positive with COVID, don't Good seem Lord. To care. We've got lots of thoughts and we're going to share those. And then we're going to wrap up our hour with Life Goes On, some inspirational stories to send you off into your day with a smile on your face. But first, Michaela, let's get some business done. It's time for News on the Beat.
Okay, babe. Well, despite the pandemic, President Trump is employing a re-election strategy of divisive rhetoric with inflammatory speeches, tweets, and statements. He recently condemned NASCAR's decision to ban the Confederate flag and called to preserve statues of Confederate generals who took up arms against the U.S., among other claims that American history is under attack. Now, the president is pinning his hopes for another 4 years on the idea that his silent majority of voters in rural parts of swing states and in the suburbs will respond to his warnings. But his support among well-educated voters is eroding, and recent national and district-level polls suggest that voters souring on Trump could turn on Republican congressional candidates, too. Have no fear, though, you guys, because Kanye West is also running for president. So girl, we're all in good hands.
Kanye Jill Stein West, you mean? I can't.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Go away, Kanye. Just go away.
I'm not even entertaining that. Can't.
He wore a jacket with a Confederate flag on it not that long ago. He said that slavery is the problem of black people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he's wild.
Very great. Very, very
good. I would vote for Kim.
I'm not voting for any of those Kardashian ones.
I'd vote for Kim or maybe Khloe.
Maybe Khloe. Yeah, okay, okay, maybe North.
Courtney would try to make us all go vegan, so no.
Oh, yeah, weird. She'd cut sugar out so quick.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Uh-huh, not messing with her. All right, you guys, in other news, protests are ramping up in Phoenix again after officers shot and killed a man in a parked car during a July 4th incident captured on bystander video. The video shows police threatening to shoot the man before firing a barrage of bullets into the vehicle. Police said the man was armed with a handgun, although his sister disputes that. The fatal shooting comes as protesters nationwide have been demonstrating against police violence. Meanwhile, Georgia's governor declared a state of emergency and activated as many as 1,000 National Guard members, citing weeks of dramatically increased violent crime and property destruction in Atlanta. The governor's statement says more than 30 Georgians were wounded by gunfire over the holiday weekend, including an 8-year-old girl and 4-year-old and 4 others who died.
Wow.
Oh, man, it's just so sad.
Totally.
All right. Well, finishing off our news on the beat today, the Supreme Court dealt a major blow to the controversial Keystone XL pipeline, though the justices cleared the way for many pipeline projects to proceed while environmental reviews are done. They ruled that the Keystone pipeline must still undergo the lengthy permitting and regulation process that would force major delays and could jeopardize the existence of the pipeline itself pending the outcome of the 2020 election. Now, Trump has moved to advance the pipeline, but Joe Biden has pledged to rescind the permit if he wins. Separately, the Supreme Court ruled that states can punish members of the Electoral College who break a pledge to vote for a state's popular vote winner in presidential elections. The case comes just as election season is heating up. And boy, is it hot.
It's going to be a wild fall.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait. All right, if you're celebrating birthdays, happy birthday. You're celebrating with Beatle Ringo Starr. He hits the big 8-0. We have comedian Jim Gaffigan, 54. Actress Shelley Duvall celebrates her 70th birthday. And our producer, Justin Bernal, hits the 3-2, baby.
You know what's wild to think about? You think of like Ringo Starr. Someday we're going to be like, Justin Timberlake turns 80 or like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
The people we grew up with that were like that. You're or like, Harry, yeah. Harry Styles turns the big 9-0 or whatever. It's going to be so weird. Well, we won't be here for that one.
Will he be singing Watermelon Sugar High still? Because I hope so. Be a request.
Girl, I'll be long gone by then, but hopefully.
Well, give us a vibe of the day.
Your dreams are about to deliver a guiding message of clarity and abundance. Keep dreaming.
I love that. Keep dreaming, babe. All right. Well, one of our dear friends of Channel Q, Justin Martindale, is joining us. You know him from E's What the Fashion, but he has a new show called TikTok. He's talking about how you can see the hilarious show coming up next.
You might recognize this next voice from E's What the Fashion or E's The Funny Dance Show. Also, maybe you found him on his new show, TikTok with Justin Martindale. Please welcome to the program, Justin Martindale.
How you doing? Hi, guys. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to get my my annual Channel Q check-in. So, yes, thank you.
Well, we love you. I love you, too. We'll make sure you're doing all right.
I'm doing okay. This is actually my Fire Island vigilante look.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so if you were there, I'm going to find you.
Yeah, what did you think about those videos?
Wait, let's go on air and do this.
We are on air, girl.
Shut
Michaela?
Up.
Yeah. Michaela. I just
I told you guys, hold on. I had to go get my charger.
We don't wait for you, Michaela. We do not wait for you.
So here's what's going on in real time, you guys. So we're doing our show via Zoom.
Are on air?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we really? Are you doing this?
Oh, my God. You're so going to be Instagram famous later on this afternoon. Yeah.
Justin, you're our producer. You have to listen when I say I got to go get a charger.
We're using this, Justin. Don't stop, because this is the reality of what's going on right now. I've been sick, so we're Zooming from home right now. Michaela Gordon is a professional. Ignored the fact that she ran off camera for a moment, and we're here. I've already introduced him. We're in the segment,
so
Michaela.
We're in the segment.
Real life.
Welcome, Justin, to the show.
Girl, and Justin.
Yeah. Hey, Michaela, what's going on? How was your pee?
Michaela, he was just about to tell us what he thought about the people at Fire Island.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me.
I mean, they're trash.
Obviously. I actually
talked to my friend who lives in New York, and I was like, what does everyone think? And he's like, oh, everyone hates them all. And I'm like, good. I was like, especially if you're from New York and you've been dealing with this since January, February, and it's like, let's just go. Let's listen to Chromatica and get COVID. Like it's like, no, like, can you just not for a second, please? That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy that there were carriers of COVID, and they we're doing it. F it, we'll do it live.
And it blows my mind, because it's like, especially as an LGBT person, it's like, you should know the history that Fire Island was like wiped out in the 80s because of AIDS, you idiots.
We literally had this discussion earlier this morning, the exact same thing. The group that should understand what a pandemic is and how to handle it is not handling it.
Yes, no.
Okay, now here's what I want to talk about. TikTok.
Yeah.
You're thriving. And I don't mean the app.
I'm thriving, yes. You know, since everything got shut down and my tour dates got canceled and my eczema kicked up again, just waking up with panic and anxiety is just great. And I finally, managed to figure out how to get to sleep with all the fireworks going off every night, even after the 4th.
So fun.
After the 4th.
They go on till 8 in the morning.
It's like, girl, we know it. You got a stimulus check. Congrats. So I just decided, how can I maintain my time and be creative and kind of pick up a new project? So I delved into the world of TikTok, which is just something else.
It's fascinating.
Justin, what do you think of it? I've tried so hard, but honestly, it's hard and it's time consuming, and I'm not famous yet.
Well, I'm never going to be. It's like Warner Brothers. It's like a whole production, studio. There's just so many things. There's so many ways to do it. And then I'm following the people who are famous on it. I'm following the young, the early 20s thoughts, which I'm just like, am I a sick person? Yeah. And they're all just bajillionaires off of TikTok. So I was just I have to figure this out. I want to know what it's all about. People put up the most disturbing, dark, uplifting, funny, weird, DIY yourself stuff, and I'm just figuring it all out. And I was
Justin, just one quick note. It's not stuff. It's content.
Content. I know it has a name. And so I just was let's do a little recap show of the weirdest stuff that I find interesting on TikTok, and call it TikTok. And my buddy Robbie Vals came over. We wear a mask and we do it in my apartment. He sets up a green screen and lights and boom mic and camera and all this stuff. And we just get show going.
Copyright that. Copyright that title right now. That's a really great title.
Good. Well, I'm just going to roll with it. I'm sure everyone's kind of it works well, but it's just they're not me,
Well, so you put it, I love it, because you just do quick commentary on the TikTok videos going up. It's sort of how you used to do, I would say, similar to like what the fashion is, which is critique the outfits.
Exactly.
You're critiquing the TikTok videos, and they're so funny.
Thank you. Yeah, we do a, it's literally like this, the length of what the fashion used to be. It's like 5 minutes long. It's easy. We have, we're taping 10 of them right now. So they come out every Monday. And yeah, it's just fun and stupid. And there's so much, I'm actually like in a good mood right now because I'm talking to you guys, and I also haven't checked Twitter yet. So I don't know how the world's on fire right now, but it is just a little good way to escape. And it's just fun and dumb, and I just make a couple jokes, and you know, that's it. It's nothing hard. It's not brain science.
Yeah, but we talk about it all the time. I mean, I feel like when I talk to you a lot, it was more so in like April, and we were really relating on the fact that like our entertainer friends just were completely out of work. Like it was just over, nothing to do, no creative outlet, and everybody was too depressed to create content, not knowing how long it was going to go.
Right.
So TikTok is so fun. It's so your brand, and it's really just lighthearted and makes fun of all the things I don't understand.
Yeah, I know. And that's really what it is I'm learning and growing, because everyone's just like, oh my God, if you're over 30, just like run into the ocean already. You don't belong here. So I'm just kind of like, I'm going to prove them wrong. And I'm doing it slowly.
I went down a rabbit hole the other day watching Kellyanne Conway's and George Conway's
daughter.
Oh, she's the best.
She's wild. The best. There's so many people that are just kind of jumping on. And I think it's so kind of fascinating how she's expressing herself as a younger generational, you know, person who's just kind of like, I'm in the middle of this too. And I'll tell you what's going on. And I can tell you about TikTok because my parents don't understand. So it's really kind of cool.
Wild. Well, Justin, we love you. Thank you so much. If you did get an invite to Fire Island, stick around, because we're talking about the devastation that was this past weekend. Also check out TikTok every Monday.
On YouTube.
On YouTube. We love you. Thank you so much.
I love you guys. Have a good day.
Life does indeed go on. Michaela Gordon, we've got three inspirational stories to send our listeners off into the day with a little bit of love and light in their heart. This first one, let me just paint this picture for you. It's 2008. Captain Matt Zeller. He's about to die during a battle with Taliban forces. He's in Afghanistan until a man who's identified as a U.S. translator dragged him out of harm's way. They didn't know each other then, but they created an unshakable bond. Fast forward to this last weekend, 4th of July. The man, Yanis Shinwari, who saved this man's life, celebrated his very first 4th of July as an American citizen. So because of this life-saving heroic moment they shared together, Captain Matt Zeller said, listen, I will do whatever it takes to help you and your family get to America, raise some funds to get here, and then help you become an American citizen.
Yes.
So he helped him with a GoFundMe campaign, raised $35,000. That was enough to get Shinwari and his closest relatives to the United States. And he says, if this had not happened, I would not be alive. He was trying to save Afghanistan, his homeland, from Taliban rule, and decided that he would work, you know, as a translator with the American army, the American military, and because of it, save this young captain's life and then end up saving his entire family because of it down the road. How cool was that?
That's absolutely incredible. I love that story. Okay, I really love this story also. So you know that Lisa and I desperately want to start a family at some point, but this lesbian couple did it kind of so much more fun. They tied the knot in 2017, but when Karina and Kelly decided that they wanted to start a family, they got pregnant at the same time and are now two proud parents to almost twins, Sophie and Leo. And they said, people told us that we would kill each other being two pregnant women in the same house with the hormones flying around, but actually it was so great to go through this with the love of my life, who completely understood how I was feeling. I don't know how they did it, because I know when hormones are running in this house, we're like, yeah. But also knowing that you have a baby in each of your bellies and you're like doing the same thing, it's beautiful. So congratulations to the happy couple.
That is so beautiful. Speaking of happy couples, let's talk about Cody and Brandon. They plan on tying the knot this October 24th, if everything still permits. They met for the first time in March of 2019. So this is a fast-moving relationship. They aren't wasting any time. Well, they have gone viral because of a video that they took on TikTok that eventually went viral on Twitter a while later of the one man getting down on his knee. Cody distracted his boyfriend, Brandon. He asked him to look out at something in the distance. They're standing. They're wearing matching outfits. They're looking over a lake. He asked him to look out in the distance. And as he looks out, Cody gets down on one knee. Brandon immediately turns into a blubbering mess, crying his eyes out. They said it was so beautiful. These two, they just said that it was love at first sight. The day they met each other, they just knew. And this is now going viral on TikTok and Twitter. Here's my question. Why did they wear matching outfits? Like, it's a cute video.
Because it's who the gays are.
I know, but do you really wear the matching outfit? Do you, like, I feel like he had to have known a proposal was coming. No?
No.
Am I being a downer?
Maybe if they wore a male romper.
Okay, so here's the thing. Rompers. Is it possible that after 8 years of a relationship without putting a ring on my partner's finger, I'm just projecting a bit because I'm a little bit salty. They got engaged after a year. I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
You know what? Listen, we're in a pandemic and that's what I blame everything on. Like, it doesn't even, when they run out of turkey in the grocery store, I'm like, the pandemic.
I know,
like,
right?
We just didn't stock, Michaela. So
honey, don't start going down conspiracy theory rabbit holes about turkey and toilet paper at the grocery store. Although I'm sure you can.
I said I need grapes. Where are they? It's a pandemic.
Well, listen, love still lives strong through pandemics. And this is a really
you couple of great reminders. You could barely even get that out. That's how happy you were to say that. You're like, love is strong.
My relationship is thriving. We're not engaged yet, but we are thriving.
You are thriving. Oh, I know. I love you guys as a couple. All right, you guys. Well, we have a great show for you tomorrow. And of course, the rest of this week, we'll be joined tomorrow with our political expert, Sam Garrett-Pate. Thank you to our guests today, Doc Halligan, of course, and the very funny Justin Martindale. Please stay safe, wear your masks, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.